Now, there's been a lot of talk this summer, as we know, about the game welcoming new fans and encouraging people to take up cricket. And that's always been the ethos of our tea time guest. Rob Easterway is an author and broadcaster famous for his explanatory book, What is a Googly?, which has now sold, I can't believe it's more than 50,000 copies. But he's also the founder of the Googly Fund, which was launched at the start of the summer to try and get as many people involved in the game as possible. According to Sport England, recreational cricket lost 30% of its regular adult players in 10 years. 30% adult players in 10 years. And COVID will also have a negative effect. So the Googly Fund looks to give small grants to existing clubs, new teams or individuals who want to play cricket outside of official league structures. And Rob's here. It's lovely to see you, Rob.
And you. It's wonderful to be here.
Rob, we're going to talk more about the book, obviously, because as anyone knows, when anyone says to me, I don't understand this game, I say, go and buy What is a Googly? You'll find it. And everyone says, you're making a fortune out of it. It's nothing to do with me at all. It's your book.
Fantastic.
And it's brilliant. And Nat, our engineer, who started this year with us, knew nothing. This is her copy that I've got here. You're going to sign it for her.
We'll do that with pleasure. And just to say, I'm not making anything out of it now either. Because all its proceeds are now going to our new charity. But anyway,
well, tell us all about it, because there are so many initiatives, aren't there, to get people into cricket. I mean, obviously the highest profile example has been the 100 this year to get people. So what's the difference in what you're doing here?
Right. So what we're talking about here is social cricket, friendly cricket for adults. What I have played basically since I left university, where you still want to win, you want to play proper cricket, but in the end, it's about everyone taking part and enjoying the game, and at the end feeling that was fun, and building social networks out of it. So, you know, you don't want to be ostracised for dropping a catch for a week. You want to play cricket where all abilities are included, because cricket can do that. You can have, a hopeless player whose only contribution is nicking it through the slips at the end, and someone else who's a club cricketer. And if you manage it properly, everyone can have a good time. And I've loved that kind of cricket, ever since I've got into it, and I want other people to enjoy it too.
Yeah, that sounds great. So it's sort of free form in a way, is it? I mean, or do you have a team?
I've got two teams that I have played for myself. Yeah. One called the Mandarins, who are largely a civil servant team, but I've played for them, got drawn into them very early on. But now I also play for a team of parents of primary school children. So the community is like a primary school, and there's lots of dads in particular who might have played when they were 15, haven't touched a bat since. But, you know, Heber Dad's team, we now play against Goodrich Dad's and all these primary schools locally. And it's just, it's been a fantastic way of actually building a social network between, you know, dads tend to be less good, it seems to me, networking than mums often at primary school. So inadvertently, it's had that benefit as well.
Yeah. But we and it gets the kids involved as well.
And the kids come along. I mean, the great thing about it being a primary school is, yes, the children will come along, watch a game, help with the scoring, pick up the ball occasionally. I've always thought that social cricket particularly is a wonderful way of children being exposed to adults and adult company in a totally natural way. And often, you know, you're short of a player on a Sunday, and so a 14-year-old will play and they'll field at fine leg, they might bowl a couple of overs, and next season they bowl five overs. So, you know, I think social cricket plays such a huge role, and has for me, and can for so many people, and just making them feel included and play a bit of sport and have fun and all the social things that come with cricket.
Right. So how does it actually work then? I mean, someone listening, I'd love to get a game of cricket somewhere. I haven't played for years. Is that the sort of person that you're looking for? Are you looking for a bit more structure than that?
Yeah, so we've had a fantastic first year. We've already given away grants to 25 teams, and there are a whole range of teams. You know, one was a social team, a Sunday team that hadn't played for years, that have reformed in Worcestershire, called Alfrick Cricket Club, close to our hearts because they were our first grant. And, I mean, our grants are up to £250, so it's not huge, but it's just enough to perhaps buy them a bit of equipment, or in their case, buy the flags and remake the scoreboard. So in a way, it's more a case of we believe in you, and just giving them that little, you know, someone cares about social cricket. So anyone who's got a team or thinks of forming a team can apply to us and say, look, this is what we want to do. This is when we're going to hold our match. I mean, one of the teams that we've supported, a complete contrast, is down in Kent, a refugee team, some of whom Afghan refugees, teenagers, playing, and they played their first match, and we bought some kit for them because they had no kit. So, you know, it's just... it's just lovely to be putting something back into cricket, to be honest. And this seems such a satisfying way to do it.
And I mean, the difficulty for cricket is the facility, isn't it? The ground, the pitch, and something to play on.
Exactly. And you need to hire something, you know. So I'm not saying this is a miracle cure, but often there might be a local cricket club who have a strip that they don't use occasionally on Sundays or midweek or whatever. They might charge 100 or 200 quid. It depends where you are in the country for it. But a little bit of funding can just help. And it's like a catalyst for saying, okay, let's talk to local schools who have a pitch or local clubs or whatever, and let's...
Out of term time, of course. I mean, in school holidays.
Exactly. And in fact, we've used... it's actually a prep school who allow us to use their pitches, and often it's out of term time, and that's fantastic. But, you know, there are municipal pitches, all sorts of places you can play, albeit I'm not saying it's easy in a lot of places to find a spare pitch.
And how are you raising the money then to hand out your £250?
So it would be lovely to say that all the royalties for What Is a Googly are paying for this, but in fact that's paying for a small bit. So we're taking donations from whoever believes in this kind of thing, and we've had a couple of fantastic donations that came in. One of them, my favourite, because I did a little item on World Service, BBC World Service, a few months ago. And I had an email from a chap called Ramaswamy. That's all he signed it as, from New Hampshire in America. And he said, do you accept checks or whatever? And I wasn't sure, is this genuine? Anyway, a letter arrived the following week from Ramaswamy. I thought, is it going to be $100? He'd given us his entire COVID presidential $3,200,
really?
Which, you know, Biden and Trump were giving money to all American citizens. He said, I don't need it. I think social cricket can have this too.
Wow.
So Ramaswamy, thank you. You have enormously... You know,
well, he might be tuning in.
I hope he is. What a wonderful guy, and one day we will meet, probably.
Yeah. So what sort of commitment are you looking for from the people who have these grants? I mean, how many games are you expecting them to play, or how does it work?
It's £100 to £200 is our typical grant. We trust people. They make their case, you know, and we've not got granted to everyone, and we're not big, so we might get overwhelmed with requests, and we'll never be able to meet all of them. But you know, we would love to hold a match next year. We want to put together a team. It would just be so fantastic to have enough to you know, get a new set of stumps, or the groundsman desperately needs to fix the mower or whatever. We had things like that, and we, you know, we've got four of us. Sit as trustees of this, my colleagues, I will name them, Dan Foreman and Helen Porter and Annie Chave, and we sit down and by majority we say, yeah, we think so, and then we trust that people will use it properly.
Yeah, and the results so far, I mean, from what you've seen of people who've had this, I mean, they just sit this going on, they sort of roll back the years a bit,
well, you know, it's just been lovely to see tweets, here's a, you know, photo of us playing the game, thank you Googly Fund for helping us, and we've had lots of those, and I think we've had more hits than misses, and hopefully once they've done it once, it builds a momentum to keep doing it, and that's what, you know, what we want.
So here it is then, the latest edition of What Is a Googly. From memory, was it paperback, but it was a sort of... It was. How long has it been a hardback?
Bizarrely, it was a paperback first, now it's a hardback. This is the new 2019 edition.
Okay, I mean, I remember the paperback edition.
Exactly, it was never a hardback until now, but it's the same price. This is the 2019 edition. I mean, the first edition came out in the 90s, and a lot of cricket has stayed the same, but a lot has really changed. And what's really changed since the 90s is women's cricket and 2020s. Both of which were, there was hardly any women's cricket then, now it's such a major force, and 2020s didn't really exist in people's consciousness then. So I couldn't explain cricket without reference, including a lot more about women's cricket and also talking about 2020s and what it is. And of course, I mean, the 100 hadn't happened when we wrote it, but I knew it was coming, so there is a paragraph acknowledging that this is coming, and this is another way of attempting to bring people into cricket.
Yeah. Well, now that we know that all the proceeds are going to this charity, we can talk about it even more.
Right.
Because it is this. I've always used this as an example for people, essentially, to sit and perhaps listen to the radio, or sit at a match, and it just hopefully. Well, you can explain it better than I can, but if you are listening to us, for instance, people say, "What's mid off?" or "What's mid wicket?" or "What is a googly?" and it sort of sits alongside the commentary and the terms within cricket so easily. That's what I think I've always enjoyed about this.
That's great. And the way I wrote it at the time, I was just aware that there was nothing that brought people into cricket. It was the tea towel that made it more confusing. Remember that?
That's,
you know,
right.
You're in till you're out.
Yes,
thought,
of course.
I thought it is possible to explain cricket.
Well, that was sort of taking the mickey a bit, wasn't it?
It was.
This is actually...
Exactly. So I asked people who'd never been to cricket or had seen it on the telly, okay, what are the things you want to know? Not what I think you need to know. And so the book is actually structured around the questions they asked. You know,
yes.
Things like, why do they rub the ball on their trousers was very popular at the time. But, you know, how can it go on for 5 days and still be a draw? You know, and the analogy between that and chess, and the fact that chess can be a draw too. You know, you have to think about cricket in a different way, and you have to think about cricket as being funny, about being humour at the heart of it. I mean,
yes.
Cricket at its best is humorous. And a friend of mine, Mark Stevens, did the cartoons.
Yes, which are excellent. I'm looking at stuck in the field here, and some poor fellow's got a rope wrapped round him as the batter runs past, which of course doesn't quite happen in those terms, but it sets the tone of it, doesn't it?
And I had to pull Mark out of retirement to do some new illustrations to update it all as well, because
yes.
Both of them was a bit of more forgotten figures, so bring in Sarah Taylor and folk like that. But yes, so it was, you know, my attempt to be inclusive and to, you know, to do for cricket what it just needs. People just, if you say, you know, if you tell people, look, you can enjoy this, and I've sat with many people at a test match and spent the day explaining to them, hopefully they didn't find it too dull, but that's what the book attempts to do.
It's trying to explain LBW, which again, you know, commentating, it's difficult really, because in some ways you do have to assume knowledge that you know the people who are listening probably know that, but then there are people who don't,
yep,
clearly, and people who know perfectly well what it's all about, but to try and explain LBW in a written form is incredibly hard. You say, warning, what follows shouldn't be read by anyone with a weak heart, as you try and very successfully in four quite concise paragraphs,
right,
explain what it is.
I've got teammates who still go back to that diagram, actually, because even cricketers often say, hang on, so what's the outside leg rule again?
Yes.
So, it is, you know, there are some complicated bits. And interestingly, you know, we've seen the 100 arrive this year,
yep,
as a way of simplifying cricket. But actually, all the complicated bits are still there. So,
Has the language changed much? I mean, since you first started bringing this out?
A little bit of, I think Corridor of Uncertainty probably arrived around just after the first edition.
That was Jeffrey,
things,
yes,
like buzzers, although maybe buzzers has been around for a long time and I didn't know. So some terminology comes and goes. Most is the same. I think the biggest change, actually, and it took me a while to get used to it, but I'm used to it now, is calling batters,
yes,
not batsmen.
I had noticed that. See,
yeah.
I'm still a batsman person.
That's a tricky one. I was looking for every argument not to do it, but in the and actually my biggest objection to it is it sounds like baseball. That's
yes.
what that's really it. But bowlers batters makes sense, actually. So
where did you go down the batters route?
When I was doing that, when I was doing the book, actually, I just thought, you know what, I've got to make a decision here. And so, when I'm talking about Don Bradman, I will talk about him as a batsman, but I will now reasonably naturally talk about batters.
See, but that's true. I can't imagine for a moment calling Don Bradman a batter.
Yeah, because he probably
Grace
wouldn't have done that. Yeah, exactly.
Or Wally Hammond,
exactly,
or
exactly.
Colin Cowdrey. Was Colin Cowdrey a batter?
Yeah. So, anyway, I mean, it's not still not resolved, and there's still some terminology that needs to work itself out, but
yes. I see here, is it true that John Major, when he was Prime Minister, gave a copy to President George Bush Senior, that is
unbelievable.
How did you get to know about that?
It is true, because what had happened was John Bush Senior had given, I think, a baseball bat or a book or something to John Major. So on a return visit to Camp David, Major thought, I'll take a cricket thing, and his press secretary at the time, Gus O'Donnell, got in touch with me and said, your book What Is a Googly has just come out, can you get a copy over to me and I'll get it to him. So I put it on a courier and it went there, and next thing I knew it had apparently been handed over at Camp David. Whether it's still propping up a table somewhere, you know, but anyway, it was a wonderful thing to happen.
Let's look at here, because not only is this about explaining how cricket works, like, but actually you've got little boxes here. Five cruel ways that players have been given out being one example of that. And again, you've researched, I mean, so Murali walked out of his crease to congratulate Sangakkara for scoring 100. The wicketkeeper removed the bails, And Murali was dismissed, run out. That's a pretty savage way to be dismissed.
I absolutely. And you know, but cruelty is part of cricket, isn't it? I think there's one in there that might be, I was corrected by various people. I think Kevin Peterson might be one of them, and his, I called it hit wicket and it was bold or something, but a helmet fell anyway.
Oh, yes.
But yes. I mean, cricket is cruel, but it can be kind as well. So that's it. That's why we love it.
What about Ted Dexter? Because you were involved when he started up establishing the ratings. You were the mathematician that he went to start it all up.
That's what has made all of this possible. I mean, I was just out of university and I wrote an article for the Cricketer magazine.
Right.
And it was based on a sophisticated, you remember Howzat, the dice game?
Yeah.
I used to play that as a kid, but it wasn't very realistic. And a friend of mine called Gordon Vince had written a fantastic simulation that looked just like real cricket. And I wrote an article about it. Next thing I knew, a letter from Ted Dexter saying, "Dear Mr. Eastway, I saw your article. Please, would you come for lunch to talk about this idea I've got?"
Lunch with Ted Dexter, that sounds all right.
I was being paid because I was working for Deloitte. You'll remember it used to be originally called Deloitte. And my employer, my boss, Dennis Sherwood, said, "You can go for lunch, find out what happens." And the rest is history. And, you know, again, I got my friend Gordon involved to do computing. And we developed, you know, the ranking system with Ted. But what a lovely, lovely man he was,
yes, exactly,
to know for 30 years, and he was always a pleasure and always not like his public reputation as well.
Yes, that's true. Rob, it's lovely to see you and well done with that, and good luck with the Googly Fund. Let's hear some nice stories of people who've been coaxed back into cricket again as a result of that. It'd be wonderful. You're going to go and sign that for Nat, aren't you?
With pleasure. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. So I'm going to give that to you. Nat, there she is. She's waving behind there. She's getting better, I think. She knows what a Googly is now for a start, anyway. So thanks, Rob, and good luck with the Googly Fund. And I should tell you how to get hold of that. And the answer is Googly Fund. There you are. www.googlyfund.co.uk is the website that will help you with that. Players are wandering out into the middle. Certainly going to be a fascinating final session, isn't it? England are comfortably in the lead, but not quite as comfortable.